window shutters of all homes. One did not miss going to the synagogue except for very unusual circumstances. No disputes among Jews were ever brought before the Gentile courts or before a nobleman or even before the king. And if a Jew did take his case before a non-Jewish court, he would be severely chastised and criticized. All of the pillars upon which the world rests, Torah, prayer, charity, truth, justice, and peace, were in existence in the Jewish communities in the Kingdom of Poland. To be sure, in the life of the Eastern European Jews, there was not only light, but also shadow. There was one-sidedness of learning, neglect of manners, discourtesy, provincialism. In the crowded conditions in which they lived, persecuted and tormented by ruthless laws, intimidated by drunken landowners, despised by the newly enriched city dwellers, trampled by the boots of the police, chosen as scapegoats by political demagogues, the rope of self-discipline sometimes snapped. In addition, Jews lived among naked misery and frightful poverty, and this deafened the demands and admonitions of religious enthusiasm. The regions of piety were at times too lofty for ordinary mortals. Not all Jews could devote themselves exclusively to the Torah and service to God. Not all old men had faces of prophets. There were not only holy men and Kabbalists, but also yokels, beggars, and tramps. There were many who lived in appalling poverty, many who were pinched by the never-ending worries, and there were plenty of taverns available with strong spirits. But drunkards were almost never seen among Jews. When night came and a man wanted to while away his time, he did not hurry to the tavern to take a drink. He went rather to his books, or joined the group that, either with or without a teacher, gave itself over to the pure enjoyment of study. Physically worn out by their day's toil, they nevertheless sat over open volumes and intoned the austere music of the Talmud. Poor Jews whose children knew only the taste of potatoes on Sunday, potatoes on Monday, potatoes on Tuesday, etc., sat like intellectual princes. They possessed whole treasuries of thought, the knowledge, ideas, and seeing and sayings of many ages. When a problem came up, there immediately was a crowd of people to offer opinions, proofs, quotations. One raised a question on a difficult passage in Maimonides' works, and many vied in their attempts to explain it, outdoing one another in the subtlety of dialectic distinction. The stomachs may have been empty, the houses overcrowded and poor, but the minds were rich and replete with the riches of the Torah. That short description of Eastern European Jewry is certainly accurate as to the Jews who lived in the 1600s in Poland, Lithuania, and Russia. It was a time of enormous scholarship. The commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch were all then being written and proposed. It was a time of stability in the Jewish community. But this was the calm before the storm. And the storm would be an enormous, terrifying hurricane that would engulf the Jewish people. According to the reckonings of the Kabbalists, the year 1648 was supposed to be a special year, a year of messianic importance. It's interesting to note, I just say it as an aside, 1648 is exactly 300 years before the establishment of the State of Israel, 1948, which also in Hebrew is the same year, Tach, except this was the year Tach, and that was the year Toth Shin Ches, Tashach, 5708, and this is the year 5408. And the Kabbalists, by a system of assigning numerical value to letters which appeared in certain verses of the Bible describing the coming of the Messianic era, determined